The wait is finally over. Football is back. You might not be at a game this year, but you can still be in on the action at BetOnline. BetOnline is going the extra mile to make sure you can get in on every possible chance to win this season. From game spreads and totals to team, player, and coaching props, BetOnline gives you more options to wager than anywhere else. You can get in on their season opening bonuses today and start wagering on wins, division, and championship futures all day, every day. Head to BetOnline today and take advantage of all the great sign-up bonuses. Don't forget to use promo code BLUEWIRE at betonline.ag. That's BLUEWIRE, all one word. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to the Geno Time Podcast here on the Blue Wire Podcast Network. We are brought to you by BetOnline. My name is Tom Westerholm, Celtics beat writer for Mass Live. I am joined by Nicole Yang of the Boston Globe and our good pal, Chris Grenham of Forbes. We're going to do something a little different today to break down the draft. Nicole, who is not a huge draft person, is a huge bachelorette person. So Nicole is going to give me and Grenham groups of three, correct, Nicole?
Yes. So I will be presenting three names of prospects. Tom and Chris are going to have to give their rose to one of the prospects, which if you aren't familiar with the Bachelorette franchise, which I'm sure if you haven't watched the show, you at least understand what giving a rose to someone means, which is like, that's who they're picking essentially. So yeah, that's what we're doing today.
Let's do it.
Group number one, Aaron Naismith, sophomore out of Vandy. These are all wings. Desmond Bain, senior out of TCU, or Sadiq Bey, sophomore out of Villanova.
Grenham, go ahead, man.
All right. Well, I do have to say that obviously it's very clear that Sadiq Bey is my draft crush, but Desmond Bain,
yeah, man,
is pretty awesome. And he really does fit the mold of what the Celtics are looking for almost to a T. I mean, if he was trying to help his cause during his combine interview, he really did, just hyping up Marcus Smart, basically. I have a feeling Celtics Twitter might be giving Desmond Bain their rose. He's a smart guard, but I have to give it to Sadiq Bey because I'd be misleading everyone if I didn't. He's got one of the highest floors in this class, in my opinion. He's going to be able to space the floor, really versatile defender. He's a smart, classic Villanova player who comes out of Jay Wright's system. And I have complete trust in him to be a solid role player, which I think is what the Celtics could really use off the bench. He's a reliable shooter. And again, I just think he's probably more of the plug and play type material than a lot of guys in this class. So I think he could benefit the Celtics bench right away.
I would love to be the contrarian and give my, well, not even a contrarian really, because like you said, Celtics Twitter has fallen in love with Desmond Bain. But I think I'm with you on Sadiq Bey. Like, Aaron Naismith obviously has plenty of potential too. I like Sadiq Bey's potential versatility on the defensive end a little bit more than I like Naismith's. But I just think he's the right call for everything you mentioned. Like, the high floor is really important. And I will say, too, I really like the potential to have, like, real shooting wings who you can rely on around Marcus Smart. Smart has obviously shown that he's one of the best passers on the team. He is a guy who doesn't, like, especially playing with second units, didn't always have floor spacing. So literally, I think just putting somebody who you know is going to knock down a reasonable three-point rate on the floor next to him. The one thing I will say that I like about Bain is I think he's going to be more of like a creator out of the pick and roll than Sadiq Bey is. I think Sadiq Bey is going to be a little bit more than just a 3-and-D guy. I think there's going to be some aspects of his game that come out as well. And I do think that the Celtics will take a good look at the fact that Bain can do a little bit more than that. But I think when you look at his 6'4" wingspan with a 6'6" frame, there are some areas in Bain's game where I have, you know, some small concerns. So
yeah,
I'm with you on Sadiq Bey. I think that's the right call.
I think your shot creation point on Bey is noteworthy because that is a problem and it kind of reared its head a little bit every now and again at Villanova. And I think a lot of that comes down to he's not the most athletic guy and he's not that explosive.
Well, neither of them are, really.
Right, exactly. But the Celtics aren't looking for someone to be crazy explosive and crazy athletic. They're just looking for someone to fill and know a role. And I honestly think all three of those guys would be able to do just that. You can't really go wrong with those three.
If those three guys are all available at 14 and the Celtics don't trade up, I mean, take one of them.
Yep.
All right, group two, Killian Tilly, a senior out of Gonzaga. These are all bigs now. Paul Reed, a junior out of DePaul. And Isaiah Stewart, a freshman out of Washington.
Can I sell the pick? This is going to be one of those bachelor weddings that just does not last for me. Because I am not in love with any of these
guys. I'm getting divorced very quickly.
I'm getting a very quick divorce for one of these three. Grenham, go ahead and pick Paul Reed.
Yeah, you betcha. I'm going to go with Paul Reed for sure. But I think Killian Tilly's an intriguing guy. He has a horrible, horrible injury history.
Yeah.
And like, it's like impossible not to look at that. But it is a major, major but and a major, major if. But if he can somehow stay healthy, like he has a ton of upside and he really does fit the modern NBA really well. He's a great shooter. He has good size and he's pretty versatile for that size. So if somehow he can stay healthy, which again is a major if, Killian Tilly would probably be my pick here. No offense, you know, Paul Reed's my guy, but I don't know. I am going to go with Paul Reed just because of his defensive skill set. He'd provide good length off the bench. His trend at DePaul is really promising too. He didn't finish his last season there all that well, but he's become such a better player over the last 2.5, 3 years. His ability to disrupt opposing teams using his length, using that really impressive athleticism would be nice to have off of any NBA bench. And if you're stuck with one of those later first round picks or that second round pick, I don't think that would be a bad pick at all. I think he's got a lot of defensive upside. Again, discipline on the offensive end, decision-making, all those need to improve. But I think with a later pick, it'd be a solid grab.
I am much lower on Paul Reed than you. I don't love his instincts. I really don't love his offensive instincts. And I mean, honestly, like if we were giving it to one of these three, I might consider giving it to Isaiah Stewart. Like he's huge and he's like really strong. I'll give it to him. I mean, he was a high-level high school guy. We know the Celtics like that. I didn't love that Washington team necessarily. I thought there were big problems there. So, you know, I'll go with a guy who's shown that he can bang, that he can grab rebounds. And
you're not going to have a lack of effort with him. He works his tail off.
That's the thing. Is you know he's going to try, and maybe the Celtics can do something with that. I'll give mine to Isaiah Stewart. I won't love any of them, but that was a tough one for me.
Group three, we have guards. Tyrese Haliburton, a sophomore out of Iowa State. Tyrese Maxey, a freshman out of Kentucky. And Tyrell Terry, a freshman out of Stanford.
I like this one.
That's a good crew. You can't really go wrong. I'm going to go with Haliburton here. I like his fit in Boston. He's smart as hell. He has really good court vision. He's pretty long and he can shoot the ball. He's just got a pretty expansive offensive game and he could be that nice playmaker off the bench, especially if Wanamaker leaves town this offseason. I was going to say summer, but this offseason. He doesn't have a ton of burst, but again, like that's okay. You're not looking for a guy like him to be the explosive scorer. He'd be that nice playmaker off the bench and he's a creative passer who can see the floor really well. Kind of like what I was talking about with Bay, he would just be a reliable depth piece, which could help this team right away.
I'm with you that I would give my rose to Haliburton.
Yeah, I gotta keep sticking with.
Yeah, right. Come on, Greg. You know, two strikes in here, buddy. So I mean, I think he's the right call. I mean, we've talked about it before. I think a decent comp for him is like Evan Turner. If Evan Turner could shoot more, he's versatile, talented. If I were the Celtics, I think I would be looking really hard at Tyrell Terry. I love what he could do off the bench. It's encouraging to hear all the, you know, all the kind of the rumors that are floating around about him putting on weight and him potentially growing and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, I just think like his ability to potentially warp defenses, his passing and his handle is quite strong too. Like when he gets downhill, like, and he gets into the pick and roll, he's pretty tough. So being able to shoot off the bounce is maybe one of the most important skills in the NBA right now, at least in terms of the offensive end. And he can definitely do that. Like he can come around a pick, snake around a pick, do whatever. Like he's, yeah. I think he's going to be able to do all that stuff. So, you know, if I'm the Celtics, I would take him both because I want scoring off the bench, but also because like, I think there's a non-zero chance that he develops into a starting NBA point guard. And if you do that, then like he's got a chance to develop behind Kemba Walker and Marcus Smart for a few years. And then maybe you have your point guard of the future. Like I think that's super valuable too. So I'll go with Terry here. I think Haliburton would be a great pick, and I think he's kind of out of their league. So it's kind of a weird one that way. I'll go with Terry just kind of for the, I guess, the realism aspect of it.
Keeping with the metaphor, out of their league.
You know?
Well done.
Like, I don't want Haliburton to say no to my rose, so I'm going with Terry here.
All right, group four, back to wings. Isaac Okoro, a freshman out of Auburn. Denny Avija, a 19-year-old out of Israel, and Devin Vassell, a sophomore out of Florida State.
I'm a big Vassell guy and I'm a big Okoro guy, but I'm going to give my rose to Okoro. I think he should be a top three pick. I don't know if he will be. His ceiling's a bit lower, but again, Tom and I have gone back to this so many times. This might be a draft where you go with a guy with a higher floor and maybe a little bit of a lower ceiling. His defensive versatility is like sky high, and he could be a really good role player right off the bat. His off-ball defense and team defense is really good, and that's a lot of times a skill or an area of defense that college guys lack. he can operate in the pick and roll pretty well. He probably needs to become a bit of a more reliable shooter if you're going to look for consistent contributions offensively. But if you're getting that smart, versatile defender, smart pick and roll operator, like that's a no-brainer in my opinion.
I mean, I respect the Okoro pick. You're a little higher on him than I am. Although I do really like him. I'm going to go with Vassell for two reasons. Number one, I think there's a very reasonable chance that Vassell is the best wing in this draft. You know, the thing with Okoro is that he's certainly the superior defender. I don't know that he's as superior a defender as to make up for how good Vassell is as a shooter. It's kind of what do you want, right? Because with Okoro, you get a little bit more of the creation. With Vassell, you get a lot more of the floor spacing. With Okoro, you get more of the defense too. But like Vassell's no slouch on that end either. He's a really good defender. Right. So I'm going to go with the guy who I know is going to be able to space the floor, who I'm very confident that Devin Vassell's shot is going to translate to the NBA level. I trust a guy who can pull up and who can spot up really comfortably. I'm going to give mine to Vassell just because I don't know that I think the defensive upside of Okoro is going to overcome the floor spacing of Vassell, but I can certainly see the argument for either one.
I think that's fair because, I mean, Vassell is certainly no slouch defensively either. He's a smart team defender.
Yeah,
and right. He's a smart on-ball defender too. He moves pretty well. So it's not like Vassell lacks a ton on defensive end. So I think your reasoning spot on.
I don't know about you. I'm so low on Denny Avdia. Like, I just don't trust that guy at all.
I don't either. And his combine interview didn't really help. I don't know. I'm not getting good vibes for whatever reason. Interesting. Yeah.
Group five, Killian Hayes, a 19-year-old out of France. Cole Anthony, a freshman out of UNC, and Kira Lewis Jr., a sophomore out of Alabama.
This is an easy one for me. Killian Hayes, like for sure. Like I would take Killian Hayes like in the top three, top five, top three, somewhere in there. I would take him very high. I would not take either of the other guys very high. I think his shot is going to come along. I don't actually have like as many concerns as I know some people have with it. I really like him. I think he's a very high pick. I'm lower than a lot of people on Lewis. I don't know why. I'm sure I'm missing something because, you know, a lot of people are much higher on him than I am. And then, I like Cole Anthony. I would take him at 14 if he's available, just because, again, talking about the scoring punch off the bench. But for me, it's Killian Hayes for sure.
If Killian Hayes didn't already have a rose, he would be my pick as well. So I'll go with Cole Anthony here. I'm still a little bit up in the air on Lewis. I like Cole Anthony's offensive game. I think he was in a really crappy spot last year. Just a bad roster. And if there wasn't a bad player, there was a good chance they were hurt at some point. He can score with basically any guard in this draft. I mean, his perimeter confidence and upside is good. He's really athletic. People were complaining about the lack of scoring off the Celtics bench. I mean, he's a guy who would bring it right away. He'd be a nice offensive burst from that alone. If he's around at 14 and the Celtics were to take him, I think that's totally a good pick from his sheer offensive standpoint.
Agreed. Just to kind of hammer home why I would take Killian Hayes too. I like Cole Anthony quite a bit. I think that with this Celtics team, his role tops out as sixth man scorer. Like, I don't really see him as like a starting point guard necessarily in the NBA. That's the other reason why I really like Hayes, is kind of like Tyrell Terry. I think that with him, you're looking at a guy who can come off the bench right now, be a contributor, and then down the road, maybe develop into your starting point guard. So
yeah, you're kind of, I agree on Anthony. His playmaking ability or lack thereof is a bit concerning.
Yeah.
Just acting as a playmaker, I should say. And that from a long-term standpoint with being that number one guy, I totally agree. That is a little bit concerned.
But he's a bucket, and the Celtics need buckets. So,
like buckets. That's why he's got my rose.
Fair.
This is group six, the last of the positional trios. We are back to bigs. We have Obi Toppin, a redshirt sophomore out of Dayton. Alexei Pokusevsky, an 18-year-old from Serbia.
One time for Nicole nailing that name.
Yeah, that was pretty good.
And Precious Achiuwa, a freshman out of Memphis.
So this is an interesting bunch because, there's one guy obviously who's like much higher in like lottery projections, but none of them are guarantees to me. But yeah, Granum, you go ahead first.
This is tough. I'm gonna go with Achiuwa just because I feel.
Wow. Okay.
I feel most comfortable with his skill set, at least my knowledge of it at this point. He's 6'9", like 230, and he's crazy athletic. He's got a 7'3", 7'2 wingspan, something like that. Like, he could be a really nice, versatile front court piece, and I think that is appealing. Not necessarily saying for the Celtics and what the Celtics are looking for, but I think if his feel for the game improves a little bit and Boston would want to go with a big, like, he would definitely be an intriguing option. He needs to improve as a shooter if he's going to stretch the floor a little bit. Like, that could be a problem.
That's why I said wow.
But he's strong. He's long. He's athletic. He's a good pick and roll guy. I think it's appealing. I'll go with him, but it's a very hesitant rose.
it kind of depends on what you're going for here, because if I'm the Celtics, I think I'm taking Pokuševski. Put him in Maine for a year or like, you know, let him develop somehow. He's 7 feet tall. He can, you know, shoot a little bit. He can dribble a little bit. He can pass a little bit.
He's so fun.
And just defensively, like the way he moves, I think there's a lot of potential there. Like there's, you know, I've seen a couple of people compare him to Jonathan Isaac, just like a comp, not like he's going to be Jonathan Isaac, but you know, fluid in that way, moves like a guard, can do some things like a guard. So give me that super high upside guy, especially considering that I don't need him to contribute specifically this season. I don't trust Toppin's defense enough. The side-to-side movement is just isn't there. And like in the NBA, like, I mean, we've seen you can be as vertical as you want, like, and Toppin certainly is, but like Rob Williams is incredibly, incredibly vertical. And the Celtics are like 6 points per 100 possessions worse defensively or whatever it is with him on the floor. Yeah. So I'll go with Pokuševski.
Pokuševski is definitely the most fun of the bunch for sure. He moves so well for his size, which would be a ton of fun to watch develop. And we've heard Danny talk about the possibility of a project. I mean, he was going through a variety of options when he said that, but he would be the perfect project to go after. I mean, I don't know what his situation is in terms of stashing and that sort of thing, but he could go up to Maine and play there for a year and get more time and some nice developing time with that staff. I think that would do him wonders.
Side note from a stash perspective, could Leandro Bolmaro have done anything more than to like shout to the Celtics, like draft me, than say that he's staying in Barcelona?
Literally, I'm staying here. I can get my time here, develop. Yeah, use it. I mean, it would
draft
make
Bolmaro, please, for me.
Oh my God. You and I were talking about him months ago, watching random highlight packages of him. If they were to do that, it would be perfect. I mean, again, a lot of it falls on if they keep all their first rounders or if they keep a couple first rounders, because it all depends on if they trade up maybe with that first pick. But man, that would be perfect.
That's really good.
Yeah.
So then for the next groups, these are all based on what mock drafts have projected the Celtics to pick. So the first bunch is for the 14th pick. We have Precious Achiuwa as selected by Kevin O'Connor from The Ringer. Kira Lewis Jr. as selected by Sam Vecenie from The Athletic, and Patrick Williams, who we have yet to talk about, a freshman out of Florida State, a wing, and this was just from Tankathon.
So, all right, I'll give my rose to Patrick Williams. Again, these are three guys that I'm not like huge on, but I'm most interested in Williams. I mean, just like the versatility is really interesting. I think that there is some Grant Williams to his game. He's powerfully built. He's going to be able to guard a bunch of different positions. I think that there's potential for him to become a shooter down the line. I'm not 100% certain that I think that he's going to be there. Like a lot of the reporting sounds like he's really rising on a lot of people's boards. But that said, like we've talked before, this draft is going to be crazy. I think just about anybody outside of like the top five could be anywhere. So I'll go with Williams here. It's an interesting grouping.
Yeah, I'm not crazy about any of these three either. I'll go with Kira Lewis at a process of elimination here. I don't necessarily think he would be a bad get for the Celtics. I just think, you know, a guy like Tyrese Maxey might be a better guard, Cole Anthony, someone like that. But Lewis is really athletic. He's got good burst. I mean, he can create his own shot and uses his body pretty well for a guy his age, a guy his size. A guy like that who works really hard on both ends, like that's a pretty good grab coming off the bench. And you need guard help, assuming Wanamaker might not be back. So he's not terribly versatile on defense because of his size, and that kind of limits him on that end. But again, from an offensive standpoint, yeah, he's a little bit erratic, but he can create his own shot. He's got good burst. He's pretty athletic. I think that wouldn't be a bad pick at all for the Celtics. That athleticism makes me hopeful into what, you know, other areas of his game might be able to develop.
That's fair.
So we have another 14th pick, or we have another grouping for the 14th pick. This time it's Jalen Smith, a sophomore big out of Maryland that's selected by Jonathan Wasserman of Bleacher Report. RJ Hampton, a 19-year-old guard out of New Zealand that was selected by Jonathan Givony and Mike Schmitz of ESPN. And Sadiq Bey, as we all are familiar with, as selected by Jeremy Wu of Sports Illustrated.
As selected by Chris Grenham, of course.
I mean, yeah, I'm going to give him my rose again.
Well, here, let me go first because he actually would not be my first pick.
I would go
with RJ Hampton. The more I watch RJ Hampton, the more I'm like higher and higher on what I think he could bring to the Celtics. Everybody knows that he's athletic. Everybody's seen the high school tape. I think that there's a lot to be said for a kid going overseas trying to play professional basketball and like learning a lot of stuff. You know, he had some nice games at the beginning. Obviously his production tailed off, and you know, that there were certainly, he struggled more as the Australian season went on, but like I liked what he did early on. I liked how he showed he could contribute, and I think that there is potential to be more than just kind of a contributor there. Like I like his shot more than some people do. I think that it's going to translate. I love his athleticism. I think there's something to be said for a guy who you've seen him play a role and he can kind of do it, but also you just know he can hoop. Yeah. He can just play basketball. He can go get a bucket. Say whatever you want about all the other stuff. I mean, like, look at Tyler Hero as an example of this, right? Where it's like, you know, like, okay, he's got short arms, you know, that there's physical limitations there that you're just not sure about, but you know that he can just hoop. Like, you know, he can get a bucket. You know, he can do some of this stuff. And not that RJ Hampton is like a perfect one-to-one with Tyler Hero, but in that same kind of mold of a guy where I think he's going to be able to score. I think he's going to be able to do just a lot of basketball things.
Yeah, I mean, he projects as a nice combo guard. I'm much lower on his shot. Like, he's got that athleticism where you hope he can make those adjustments down the road better than another guy might. He's going to need to get stronger. That's certainly a thing. But again, like, it's not like he's 23. So he's got time to get stronger. So I don't think that's a bad pick at all. I'll try not to be too repetitive here with Sadiq Bey and giving my rose to him once again. What else can I say about him, man? Defensively, his defensive versatility and IQ is probably my favorite area of his that I think is NBA ready right now. I've been watching him since he was at Sidwell Friends in high school, and he was always versatile defensively. But as he's grown and he's gotten stronger, it's only gotten better and better. And his offensive game has only gotten better and better. And so it's like, as his body changes and as he kind of figures some things out, he's only shown improvements. He's never really regressed. And just watching that trend has made me pretty hopeful. And he works hard. I mean, he's from a good system. I love Jay Wright's system. And he's shown to produce those really good role players. So take all my roses, Sadiq.
On to the grouping for the 26th pick. Leandro Balmero, as selected by multiple outlets, including KOC from The Ringer, Sam Bassini from The Athletic, and Jeremy Wu from SI. Jaden McDaniels, a freshman out of Washington, as selected by Jonathan Wasserman from BR. And Robert Woodard, a sophomore out of Mississippi State, as selected by Jonathan Gavoni and Mike Schmitz of ESPN.
I haven't like read the blurbs of all those guys yet, but with Balmero, I guarantee all of them say something along the lines of, the Celtics probably won't use all three of their picks, but if they do, one of them will probably be a draft and stash. And here's Leandro Balmero.
I mean, I'm going to take Balmero just because I would love to watch him. Again,
because
I'm
the
guy.
The Celtics probably won't use all their picks.
Yeah, exactly. But if they do, it would be a great for a draft and stash. This is a draft that doesn't have a whole lot of draft and stash guys. And so for someone like Balmero, who has a ton of upside and has already been very clear, like Tom said before, basically shouting at teams like the Celtics, hey, I'm a perfect stash candidate. Take me in the late first round. It works out very well. And I think he's a really, really creative player. And I think he's someone with a ton of upside who, if you're the Celtics and you keep those late first round picks, I mean, I think it would be perfect. And selfishly, I would just love to follow Barcelona at the same time and watch him play.
You put me in a tough spot here because
I wasn't going to take Robert Woodard over Balmero. I couldn't
take
do it.
Robert Woodard. I don't want to take Jaden McDaniels. I'll take Jaden McDaniels. With McDaniels, you're hoping that there's something there that he hasn't shown at literally any level of basketball. Like, if I was going to pick between those two, I guess I would. Honestly, no, I take that back. If I was going to pick between those two, I would take Woodard. I don't trust Jaden McDaniels at all.
I don't trust McDaniels either. Like, from an outsider's view, he looks like an NBA player. He's tall. He's pretty big. I mean, he's got the size, but
you see that guy walk in, you're like, man, I bet you hoop.
And he's like pretty athletic. He's a good lateral mover, but.
And that's the interesting thing where it's like, but between those two guys is like McDaniels has defensive potential because like you said, he can move really well laterally. He's so long. Like there's something there. But then with Woodard, it's like he can actually like block shots and he's 6'7". To have like a 6'7" like wing player who is kind of who can be something of a rim protector. Like that's more intriguing to me. That's the interesting conversation, right? Is like, do you want the guy where you're pretty sure he's going to be able to move laterally, or do you want the guy who's kind of got like outlier skills defensively as a forward?
Right.
All right. Last group for the 30th pick, we have Killian Tilly as selected by KOC, Robert Woodard again as selected by Sam Vecini, and Desmond Bain as selected by Jeremy Wu.
If Desmond Bain's there at 30, oh my gosh. Like, yeah, absolutely take that guy. Yeah, I mean, we talked about him before, but like just to describe him a little bit more, like, yeah, I like that he can play in the pick and roll. He did more of that than I expected this past year. I like that he can shoot. I think that the shooting could result in like a decent like floater game, which I think he's going to need because of his lack of length. And I think just generally he's a high IQ player. He tries hard on defense. He's not like a freak athletically or like, you know, lengthwise. So there will be limitations. He's not going to be like a perfect defender, but like talk about a guy who's just like in position and can be kind of disruptive in that way. I think he'll be good in passing lanes, especially in the NBA where like you really get a good sense of what every other team's like set is going to be. I think that will benefit him quite a bit. But yeah, I mean, scoring punch off the bench and just some 3-and-D, I guess, potential there with the potential to do a little bit more. I think he's a steal.
I mean, I'd be shocked if he lands that late. I mean, like you said, he'd be a total steal. I'm going to give mine to Tilly, but let me just read off the list of injuries here just so we're being as transparent as possible. You know, partially torn ligament in his right foot, a hip pointer, a couple sprained ankles, knee surgery, and a broken finger. That is in 3 seasons at Gonzaga. So that is concerning to say the least. I like to give out my roses on durability. I'm not doing it with this one. I'm giving it on upside. I mean, we said it before, he has first round talent. A clean bill of health would be nothing short of a miracle at this point, probably. But if he can do that, like he's perfect for the modern NBA. He's a versatile shooter. He's big. And he's got really good size, really fluid mechanics, and a quick release. He can shoot off screens. He shot almost 45% at Gonzaga from deep. Like, that's really, really impressive for his size. And he's confident in spot-up situations. Like, his versatility as a shooter with his size is really, really something. And again, it's all dependent on his health, which is a major, major dependence. But if he can stay healthy and you're able to get him at 30 or in the second round, I think he'll probably end up going in the second round.
So, I mean, obviously, like, the foot and like, the meniscus and all that, like, those are concerning. But, like, if the most recent injuries are, like, sprained ankles and, like, fingers and stuff like that, then I have less concern about drafting him. But if, like...
The finger, I think, was freshman year.
Okay.
I think that was one of the...
Basically, like, what I'm saying is if his foot injury is what's, like, affecting him now, then it's like, right. Yeah, that probably is a result of some of the other injuries, and that worries me.
I can try and find it, but...
Presumably, the Celtics have this information and would be able to make that decision for themselves.
I would hope so. Yeah, so the finger was his freshman year. The preventative knee surgery, I think, was at the end of his second season, but I could be wrong on that. It's a lot of injuries. Yeah, Anytime we're talking about a draft prospect and we're trying to put his injuries in order, it's probably a red flag. But yeah,
right, for sure.
It sucks because I really love watching him play. Like, he's a really good player. He's really good.
I mean, I would say too, if the Celtics made, you know, some kind of a move where they did kind of trim up the guys that they had at the end of their bench now, like if they traded some of those rookies that they drafted last year just to kind of clear some space and they ended up using multiple of their picks, I would absolutely take Tilly with the 30th. I think that's a risk you don't have any problem taking because I think there is legitimate like steal potential there.
For sure.
Were you surprised by, I mean, it definitely sounds like you were surprised by Desmond Bain being available at 30, but were you surprised by the selections that people have made so far with the 14th pick? And is there anybody, not that you guys have to make a pick. Actually, yeah, if you want, you can say who you would pick at 14th or...
Yeah. So I wouldn't say that anybody really surprised me, which I know is kind of a cop out, but like the realistic answer is that like once you get past like 7-8 in this draft, anybody could be available anywhere. I mean, I think the only one that was a little surprising to me was Patrick Williams because we've just heard so much about him rising, but like there's no guarantee of that. like if the Cavs don't want Patrick Williams specifically, then the Hawks don't want Patrick Williams specifically, like it slides happen in any draft and they could absolutely happen in this one. So I mean, that was probably the most surprising one to me, but it's certainly not out of the realm of possibility. I guess like my pick would be Tyrell Terry. There is something about that kid where I'm like, it's possible that he's a little too small for the NBA. It's possible that he's not like a freak athlete or anything like that. But there's just something about him where I'm like, there might be something more than role player potential there. And maybe he doesn't reach it. Maybe he washes out quickly. I don't know. But like the shooting, the handling, the passing, the pick and roll play, all of that stuff. I don't know. I think there's a lot of potential for him.
I also think his floor is higher than a lot of people give him credit for.
I agree.
Because a lot of his minuses and his weaknesses, they're totally fixable, especially for a young guy like him. They're not like really, really massive, massive weaknesses. And a lot of them are because he was a small shooter in college who a lot of times would come down and just yank shots coming off screens a little bit too closely and that sort of thing. Like there's a lot of ways that his game could be tuned very, very quickly. I know we talked about those rumors before, but if he did grow a little bit and he did, I mean, he certainly looks bigger in the workout videos that his agency has put out there. Like, he does look a lot stronger. That's going to help his finishing around the rim quite a bit. And he's creative as hell. Even as a small guy, kind of similar to Tremont Waters, his finishing package has continued to develop as he's gotten older. And that's a great sign. It's also a sign of a smart guard, because you got to be able to, you know, have good body control when you're that size. And he does. But I totally agree. He, more than a lot of guards in this class, has that, like, well, maybe he could really, like, blow up pretty quickly. Like, if everything goes right for him. And it's totally possible if he lands in the right situation. He's a guy where you really hope he does. Because if he doesn't, it could go the other direction pretty fast.
For sure.
As far as number 14, like, I want that floor spacing wing who can provide shooting. That's been my target for the Celtics all along. So I would stick with a guy. Again, I don't think Vassell is going to last that long. I think a guy like Sadiq Bey or Naismith would be good. But if we're talking about that 14th pick, like, packaging a couple of these picks with a young player, if you have the opportunity to move into that mid-lottery area, seems like a really appealing option for me. Again, that depends on who starts to slip after the first couple of picks and who doesn't. So it's all game time decisions. But I think that would be a really appealing option if you're the Celtics, because you can't really use all these picks.
For sure. I mean, like, the thing is, like you said, it depends who slips, because, like, right, I don't want to trade up and then end up with Obi Toppin. You know what I mean?
Exactly. Like, trading up is inherently risky. It's not the move that you really shouldn't ever be banking on doing that, really, no matter the draft. I don't want to be the trade up guy, but it has been in my mind quite a bit lately. I think it's an appealing option if you have the opportunity to do so.
All right, guys. Well, thank you all, as always, for tuning in. Thank you to Chris Grenham for coming on and doing our wonky Bachelorette draft episode. We appreciate you. Leave us a 5-star review, and we will talk to you all next week.
Even though sports had a break, your business didn't. You have to keep moving, and that makes hiring more important than ever. Indeed is here to help. Indeed.com is the number one job site in the world, because Indeed gets you the best people fast. Unlike other websites, Indeed gives you full control and payment flexibility over your hiring. You only pay for what you need, you can pause your account at any time, and there are no long-term contracts. Plus, Indeed provides powerful tools to make your search that much easier, like sponsored jobs, which are shown to be 3.5 times more likely to result in a hire. With 73% of online job seekers visiting Indeed each month, Indeed is going to get you the important hire you need, just like they have for over 3 million businesses. Right now, Indeed is offering our listeners a free $75 credit to boost your job post, which means more quality candidates will see it fast. Try Indeed out with a free $75 credit at Indeed.com/BlueWire. This is their best offer available anywhere. Go right now to Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Offer valid through December 31st.